We started with this ability to recognize plants and then try to kill the weeds, but how to kill them. And we tried with different things and using herbicides and using 20% of what you normally use. So a factor of 3, a factor of 5 less than what you normally do. But before we ended up there, we tried also other things because we were, hey, maybe it's a good time to innovate also on how we kill weeds.
Budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches. Building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air, sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser. Welcome back to Over the Air, IoT connected devices and the journey. My name is Ryan Prosser, CEO of Veri, and today we're joined by Jorge Herrod. We're going to be talking about digital transformation in the ag sector. Jorge, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thank you for having me, Ryan.
So Jorge, a lot of times I'll start off by asking folks, tell me about your company. And almost always there's somebody out there that hasn't heard of a particular company. You are joining us today from John Deere, I think one of the most iconic brands in the world. And so I think a lot of people probably know John Deere. I think a lot of people might be surprised at what you guys are doing in IoT. John Deere's kind of a giant in this industry. First question right off the bat, John Deere, one of the giants in IoT, how did this come to be true?
Yeah, for sure. We're a robotics company now. We for sure produce tractors, but we've been focusing quite a bit in technology over the last few years, and we're leading a lot of the transformation towards technology. And the reason for that has to do a lot with the problems that we're facing as a human race. We need to produce more food. We're more people in the world. We're going to be about 10 billion people by 2050, which is not too far from now. And that's a big challenge. We need to produce more food. We all need to eat. This is one of the things that is not going to be disrupted by internet. It's not going to be disrupted by the cloud. We need to produce food, and we need to do it in a more sustainable way. And one of the big challenges is that we need to do more with less. Traditionally, the approach to produce more food in the past has been to bring more land production, but we're kind of at the limits. And with climate change, actually, land is shrinking. And then on top of that, we have migration. That means that the number of people working in farms is shrinking, not growing. So we need to do more with less. And technology is the answer. We have been working on systems that allow us to produce more food, do it more efficiently, do it with less input, less people, less time, and be able to do it faster.
One of the initiatives that, at least from my vantage point as a technology CEO, you hear a lot about precision ag, precision agriculture, which to me, and I don't, maybe I'll get this wrong, you hear a lot about delivering water precisely to the plant instead of trying to minimize flood irrigation, things like that, but also applying fertilizer more precisely, applying nutrients more precisely. I know that John Deere, this is something you guys think about seriously. You know, how do we use technology to develop equipment that allows for more precise delivery of those things? Can you expand a little bit on kind of John Deere's position on that and some of the things you guys are doing to help deliver things more effectively, more efficiently?
Absolutely. So the group that I head is the group in automation and autonomy, and we work in both areas. In the area of autonomy, we work on making machines driverless. And that's very important because, as I was saying, the number of people working on the farms is shrinking, and it's very hard to find the labor that we need. And we have a fully autonomous tractor that is capable of doing tillage, preparation of the land for planting. And that is something that we currently do. You hear a lot about autonomy in the road. Doing it in the farm makes a lot of sense. In many cases, it's easier than doing it in the road. There aren't as many people. There aren't other cars. There are not street signs. So having this technology be deployed in the farm makes a lot of sense. And in many ways, it's ahead of where it is on the road. So that's on the autonomy side. And then on the area that you were specifically talking about, precision agriculture, we do what is called automation. And in automation, what we do is we use cameras and advanced sensors to do things better. And one good example of that is a product that we have called CN Spray that is mounted on top of a sprayer. This is a machine that is 120 foot wide, has lots of cameras, and can see every single plant as it drives through the field at 15 miles per hour. And we are able to pick every single little plant that is there and decide, hey, this plant is a crop or it's a weed. We use machine learning, we use computer vision, we train the programs that we utilize to recognize the weeds. And when we see a weed, we spray, and we spray only that area where the weed is. So instead of spraying 100% of the field, we only spray about 30, maybe 20% of a field. And that's a big savings economically. It's a big savings for the farmer. It's a good thing for the sustainability of the operations. We're putting less chemicals into the land. And it's also a very good thing for consumers, right? We're getting food that is produced with less chemicals only where it's needed.
One of the things we talk a lot about on this show is not all technologies that look like they're ready for prime time are, and not all technologies are actually, I don't know, suitable for the real world. They seem like they make a lot of sense, and then you see them and they don't. I know you and I have talked before about the use of lasers either to augment or replace fertilizer using a machine that sort of drives over or near the crops, identifies a noxious weed, boom, zaps it like something out of Star Wars. We talked about this before. Your opinion at the time was, look, it's a great idea. In practice, it's not really there. Can you expand on your view on that technology?
Absolutely. We tried different technologies. We started with this ability to recognize plants and then try to kill the weeds, but how to kill them. And we tried with different things and using herbicides and using 20% of what you normally use. So a factor of 3, a factor of 5 less than what you normally do. But before we ended up there, we tried also other things because we were, hey, maybe it's a good time to innovate also on how we kill weeds now that we're detecting and we know exactly where it is. And one of the experiments we did was with lasers. And the problem with lasers is that plants are pretty immune, I'll call it, to lasers. You shoot a laser through a leaf or a plant, it just drills a hole and the plant is just perfectly fine. And the worst case, you cut a leaf. It's not, the plant is likely not going to die if it's of any significant size, right? If it's the only leaf, the plant is less than an inch in height, then that might be okay. But it's not the case in most cases. Also, grasses are pretty immune to having their leaves cut off. That's why when you mow the lawn, the grass doesn't die. So you have the growing point is underneath the ground in that case. So it just continues to grow if you kill the top part. So it turns out that weeds are very hard to kill. We tried other mechanisms. We tried using flames. We had experiments without flames trying to kill plants. It just takes too long to transfer the amount of heat. We tried Tesla coils, trying to electrocute plants. Also didn't work that great. We tried high pressure water jets. It created a big mess and was not a good mechanism. So we ended up going to the tried and true. And I think you're absolutely right that sometimes the tried and true, just making it more efficient is the answer. And in this case, it's 3 to 5 times more efficient use of herbicides. And we think we can even get it to be even more than 3 or 5 times in the future by being more precise in what we do. And I found, and I think the conversation we had was really interesting. I think in general, getting something to be better is sometimes easier and more practical than try something that is new, that works in the lab, but it doesn't translate really well to the real environment.
In my day job as the CEO of Aery, this idea of making tried and true more efficient, this often is the solution. People, I think, want to believe that there's a revolutionary change out there. And very, very often there is, but not as often, I think, as people expect. And many times it's about evolutionary improvement, not revolutionary. But let's talk a little bit about something I think is more revolutionary and also something I think that you are a big believer in, which is autonomy. It seems like the ag sector is going to get there 10 years before commercial like street vehicles like Tesla. I think John Deere is going to get autonomous, really autonomous, 10 years before Tesla. There's just some very difficult problems to solve to be able to navigate surface roads that I'm like, I don't think Tesla's got it in the next 10 years. But it seems like John Deere maybe does. Some of the most difficult to solve for restrictions are either lesser or they're not present in an ag environment. Talking with you before, I think this is your view as well. This is the era you head up. So we got exactly the right guy. What's John Deere's vision on this? What are you excited about? And what are some of the big challenges that lay in front of you?
Absolutely. Yeah, autonomy is happening already in farming. And we have systems at work and they are fully autonomous. This is not one of these sit down and hold the steering wheel and be ready to take over. But the way our system works is the farmer takes the tractor to the field, leaves it in a corner, gets out of the vehicle, from the phone swipes right, and then the tractor goes and does the entire operation for the entire field, while the farmer can go and do something else. The farmer can go to another field, the farmer can drive away and leave the machine to operate autonomously. And this is not a fantasy, this is happening. This is what farmers that are using our system today are experiencing. And it's pretty empowering. It is go and do things that in many cases you didn't have time to go in your life. I was talking with a farmer. This is during a very busy period of time during harvest. They're trying to harvest, operate the combines, transport the grains from the harvester all the way to the silo, dry it, and trying to do all this logistics. And on top of that, they're trying to set the ground, prepare the ground by doing this operation called tillage so that it's ready to plant in the next spring. So it's way too many things to be doing at the same time, and they have a big labor problem. So what she was telling me is that she was able to have, for the first time in 3 weeks, a warm meal. Her and her husband were able to have a warm meal for the first time in 3 weeks when they were using this system, with the confidence that the job was getting done and they were able to monitor the progress from their phone. If there's any obstacle, anything that the vehicle encounters, the vehicle sends in a message to the phone and with the image on, hey, here's what I'm seeing in front. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to continue? Do you want me to wait for you? Do you want me to go around? And the farmer can select that and, I don't know, go back to their lives while this is being done. And if you think about that, that's very different from what we are experiencing in vehicles, right? Even if you're in an advanced vehicle in a Tesla, you're supposed to be there paying attention, being in the vehicle, being in that cab. You're not being allowed to go and do something else somewhere else. You're still in the cab. So the value that this technologies can bring is much bigger. And today, in 2023, it's already happening. And we've been testing it actually since late 2022. And it's working really beautifully.
It seems one of the built-in advantages is, you know, when you're operating totally on private land that a lot of times owned by the same person that owns the equipment, this feels almost like a dream setup for autonomous operation. You're not engaging with the public in unexpected ways. Can you give us a look under the hood as we look ahead at what's next for John Deere? We're doing this interview here into 23. Folks will hear it early 24. What does life look like as we accelerate towards the 2030s? What are some of the things that you're really excited about that your group is working on?
That's absolutely right. Let me quickly comment on that. Yeah, for sure, operating in private land means that it has a lot of advantages. Probably the biggest one is that there aren't other people. It's not like driving through a busy highway, busy street, downtown area where there's people, bicycles, motorcycles, stoplights, signs, traffic cones, police. In the field, there is nothing else. If you stop, nobody's going to rear end you, right? If there's no stop sign and other vehicles to navigate that are trying to do special maneuvers, turning left, turning right, you set your direction, and we do that through GPS, and you just need to be monitoring to make sure that there's nothing in the way of you being able to do that, looking for obstacles. And if there is, we stop and we ask the farmer for, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this? Do you want to continue? Do you want to stop? Do you want to navigate around? So it does make it a lot simpler in some ways. There is some complications that job is getting done. So you need to be monitoring in addition to your driving. You need to be monitoring the job. But even that is very doable. We have the technology. We have the sensors. We have the cameras to be able to do all that and verify that the job gets done. And yeah, it's already started. The deployment has started and we're at the phase of scaling it. But there's a lot more that is coming. We want to do the area of autonomy. Let me start there. What we want to do is we want to have a fully self-driving autonomous farm. And that would mean not only doing tillage, but also doing planting, doing spraying of herbicides and fertilizers, spraying of fungicides, and also harvesting at the end and operating all the other things that are needed to operate in a farm, including moving the grain cart, which is what transports the grain from the combine all the way to a truck or to a silo. So doing that is a pretty big challenge, and we have set a goal of doing that by 2030. So it's a pretty ambitious goal. We have the first application, and we have four or five more that are coming in the heels, and we've already started. So that's what is coming in autonomy. And if you've seen any science fiction where agriculture is featured, everybody has been dreaming about this for a long time, right? Having this ability to operate, do this repetitive tasks autonomously for a very long time. And that's in the area of autonomy. We also have in automation, we have a number of goals. We want to reduce the amount of herbicides, the amount of nitrogen that gets used, and excess nitrogen can be a source of pollution, both to rivers and to the air, and also reduce the amount of CO2 that gets produced by farming. And we have goals around all of these, and a lot of them are using technologies like CN spray to utilize the inputs, the chemicals that we're putting in a more efficient way, just putting them only where they're needed, not everywhere, just only where they're needed. And that's a very different concept from what is done today. And we have products also on planting and harvesting that have this ability to do things much more efficiently than what they're being done today.
Last question before we let you go. John Deere, giant in the industry, but even Superman had friends. Who out there in IoT land is doing good work that Jorge or John Deere has a good opinion of?
A lot of the big boys for sure are doing awesome job. NVIDIA is a big partner of ours. AWS is a big partner of ours. I think that they've been providing heavy lifts.
NVIDIA is incredible. I mean, 10 years ago, I don't think most people had heard of them. And that is definitely not the case now as AI takes over. They're right at the center of it. Jorge, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
All right, Jorge, thanks for being on the show. And thank you guys for listening. Join us next time as we have another executive where we talk about things that went wrong on a journey that went right. Over the Air is presented by Veri, your trusted source for cutting-edge technology solutions. For the latest updates and exclusive content, be sure to follow Over the Air on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else great podcasts are found. On behalf of the team here at Veri, thanks for listening.